It's time for the PowerMizzou.com podcast with interviews and analysis of your Missouri Tigers. Now, here's your host, Gabe DeArmond.
I think you've been here, what, 3 months? About almost exactly
90 days, man. Like 90 days almost to the date.
Settled in at all?
We're getting there. Yeah. Family just got here permanently and closed on a home, and moving company came at the beginning of July, and family, you know, really has been here permanently since mid-July, so We're now dealing with boxes.
Yep. So understood. How long, I mean, the job part of it, how long does it take to feel like you're settled in and know what you need to know?
You know, candidly, this would be the third time that I transition or go to a different place to be a director of athletics, and I mean, it's usually a good year to where you feel like, you know, you can catch your breath and, you're somewhat caught up and you feel comfortable in terms of relationships and people and, at least somewhat organizational culture, structure, we'll have formulated maybe our strategic initiatives, for the next 2 years. You know, really these are the key things that we've got to do to move the needle over the next 2 years. And really we're underway in terms of maybe determining those things right now. We're trying to get after it at a pretty fast clip. And at the same time, you know, at least my initial 3 months, you're listening. You're doing as much listening as you can and learning and meeting people and trying to balance that then with change.
I know you said when you started you want to meet with every single person and you hope to do that over the summer. Is that that's still the timetable?
It's going to be close. Yeah. If summer ends September 30th, then I'll say I'll get it done during the summer. Yeah. But we're probably going to have to go into September. Those meetings are meetings I really, really enjoy. I do. And it's not a lot of time, but to spend 30 minutes with each individual, get to know them a little bit better in terms of their past and their family and their career aspirations and, what they like about our athletic department, if they could change something, what would that be? Those are things that are fun. And it's amazing how much you learn. You know, I can sit here and say, okay, here are some things that are absolutely consistent that really, really our staff, they love, and here's some things that are consistent that our staff doesn't like. So it's really a great way to learn information and certainly get to know people.
If there's one thing maybe on each side that's jumped out at you, hey, Missouri does this really well, and one thing that, okay, maybe this is something Missouri needs to do better.
And again, this is from a staff perspective, and I kind of laugh at this a little bit, but if you're working over at the Matsy, by far the number one deal has been the parking issue for our staff. But I think, probably a sense of family and community and I think it's hard because you're in three separate buildings, so that, that maybe there's more togetherness would probably be the one thing that maybe stands out. And then I think the one positive is just the quality of people we have. People seem to certainly speak to that. So
how important was it for you to get Ren in here and to have kind of your number two guy, and has that helped you over the past couple months?
Yeah, it was really important. And obviously Ren was somebody that I targeted because I didn't, bring in anybody else. And then from a strategic and beginning to get some things in place, especially with our external side, with communications and development and marketing, promotions, all of those things, ticket sales, ticket operations, all of that was really important. But it's also important just in terms of the comfort level, okay? Mm-hmm. We've got great people in place, the Sarah Reesmans, Brian Maggards, Tim Hickmans, Mary Austins, Chad, and so, you know, there was certainly a comfort level there, but then also having somebody that you've known before, you know, and you know how they operate, and you know, you can have a conversation with that person at, you know, 11 o'clock, 11:30 p.m. about, you know, it's kind of where we're headed doing those things. So that provides great comfort.
I want to kind of hit as many kind of individual areas as we can, and I guess, you know, you mentioned being in the three different buildings. I think the most pressing thing in a lot of people's minds is, what have your meetings been like with Gary as far as the South End Zone and kind of consolidating some of that stuff?
Yeah, we've had, you know, several meetings and discussions and you know, probably two or three of them maybe less formal, and one certainly very formal meeting. But I think they've been really, really positive. You know, the first priority is to really identify, okay, what do we need, okay? And meaning, what are the spaces? So coaches' offices, you know, meeting rooms, student-athlete development areas, so strength and conditioning, sport medicine, locker room, team lounge, recruitment room. So what are the spaces? Okay, let's make sure we identify those. And then how do we want to build? What level? Okay, who do we aspire to be? You know, if we're going to build something, okay, let's make sure that we build something that one, obviously, we can be really proud of, but two, it catapults us, you know, forward. And that's, you know, that's a tall order given this league and the quality of facilities. But, you know, at what level do we want to do this? And right now, you know, our aspirations are to do it at the very best level. Okay. Then once we've come to that kind of determination, agreement on those things, then let's decide, where does this go? Mm-hmm. Okay. Does it go, you know, South End Zone? Maybe a great place for it to be. Does it go Matsy? Does it go, you know, somewhere else? Who knows? Okay. But that's when we'll really, you know, have the experts, the architects, really kind of show us, here's some different options. So I think we're right now, we're kind of closing in. Here's on the space. We know what we want to look, how we want it to look, or you know, the type of finish level, okay. And now we're closing out. What are the right spaces, square footages, all of those things. And then the other piece, you know, Gabe, is to figure out, you know, we need those spaces for football, okay, but then we also need to have some shared space to make sure that football is still absolutely engaged with the rest of our student athletes. So like the academic center, okay? Do we do something in terms of our dining hall and making sure that, you know, we either renovate or do something new? And that's an unbelievable, spectacular space where all of our student athletes can gather and mix. So.
Since you don't even know for sure where it's going to go, I'm assuming I know the answer to this question, but is it way too early to even project any sort of a timetable for it?
I think it's probably a little bit premature. Now, you know, I'm not extremely patient, so I want to get this thing defined as quickly as possible. Obviously, you would have loved to have been able to get all of that, maybe all the I's dotted, T's crossed prior to football starting, but don't know, you know, that we're going to meet that. Maybe we still may be able to, but if not, certainly during football season, we'd like to be able to at least say, okay, we think this is what it's going to be.
Has in your talks with Gary, I mean, you know, he's always said since I've covered him, doesn't want to coach into his 70s. He doesn't want to die on a sideline. Has it ever come up how long he might be?
I don't want him to die on the sideline.
But has it ever come up how long he's going to be here?
No, it really hasn't. And, you know, certainly, you know, somebody coming in my first 3 months, I just don't know that's an appropriate conversation to have. And, you know, and I'm assuming that as time moves forward, that will be something that comes naturally. But as of now, I hope Coach Pinkel's here as long as he wants to be here, as long as he's excited about being the head coach at the University of Missouri. And I know this, he's extremely excited about being the head coach right now. I think he's really, really enjoying it, and is really, really energized. So,
I guess kind of the first, big decision you made, at least from the outside, was on Tim Jamison. What went into that, bringing him back?
You know, I think there were a lot of different factors, including, I think at the time I'd only been here maybe a month and a half and 2 months, and really, how much can you fairly, assess the situation? And so that was one. Two, absolutely, I like Coach Jamison, and he's been a great role model for our program. He does the right things in terms of rules. Our student athletes, our baseball student athletes go to class, they graduate, okay, all of those different things. And then I think finally, the program has shown some progress, recently, and I think certainly on the field, also with recruiting class. Coach Jamison nor I liked kind of the way the season ended, okay, but still, if you compare it to the previous season, better, okay. And then finally, maybe the last piece of it was, okay, have we really given him and given the program a chance in terms of the resources allocated? And so, we decided that, look, we're going to make an investment in terms of resources. And look, Coach Jamison knows it, that he knows this. He's got to win. And that's part of it. All of the other things, as I mentioned, the academic piece, the compliance piece, all of those things, he's doing terrifically well, okay? But now we've got to also got to win on the field.
I talked to him about a month ago and about some of those issues with support for the program and all that, and he said, given the choice, he'd tear the stadium down and build a new one. Is that your choice, or would your choice be to see if you can work with the one you've got where it is?
I think probably, and I'm not trying to be, careful in how I answer this, but I think the truth is we got to look into it. I'm not sure, if they said, Mac, you got to make a decision right now, go put another $15 million into that stadium, I would say time out. I can't make that decision yet. I mean, we've got to really make sure that that's the wise thing for us to do, to put, another 10 to 15 million on into that, or, do we tear it down and start all over, or not tear it down, but go put it somewhere else, like we're doing with softball.
Right.
So what I'll tell you is that we're gonna look at that. We're gonna look at that over the next 6 months.
One more kind of facilities one with the softball stadium. What are the plans for Hearn Center, and how much longer that's around?
We've had some general discussion, and I think, at least as of today, the consensus is probably, a facility that although it's served us extremely well, probably, just too antiquated, and probably the cost to renovate is not wise to go that route. And so at some point in time, tearing down the facility and then building something new, a smaller, maybe state-of-the-art arena. And again, I think time frame is, we're going to put together this facilities plan, and again, we're working on it, and it takes some time if we're going to do it the right way. But, our vision is to really address our facilities over a 5 to 7 year period. And that's going to include, the football piece. May include also some components to the stadium, okay? It's going to, you know, need to address baseball. It's going to need to address the Hearn Center. It's going to need to address Matsue, because, you know, that facility, just in terms of volume and numbers of student athletes, we need to grow that area. And needs to, you know, when I say Hearns, you know, there's also indoor track and field. What do we do with that if we tear that down and build new arena? Now we have to address indoor track and field as well. So there's tennis that, you know, we need to address as well. So there's a lot on the on the plate, you know, we're going to put a plan together for all of it.
A little more on the plate. I mean, you said obviously 2 months isn't time to assess Tim Jamison. It's obviously not time to assess your basketball coach either. Coming off the season they did, what is a fair amount of time to make some sort of assessment?
That's a great question. You know, I think, again, candidly, you try to account for all the variables. And here's what I do know. I do know this. I know that Kim Anderson is a great person, okay? And I know Kim Anderson can coach basketball, okay? I don't care what level you're at. You don't win a national championship if you can't coach. And he's been unbelievable to work with, okay? And he's taken over a program that had some issues, okay? It is what it is, and so we're in a hole, and I think, you know, it's my job as athletic director, whether it's Kim or any one of our programs, to do everything we can to give our head coaches the necessary resources to win. I mean, at the end of the day, that's my job, is to do that, and resources for our student athletes, so that they can, you know, become men, women, graduate. That's my job, quite simple, okay? And so we're going to commit to doing that with Kim, you know, and I think, you know, we've got to see, you know, how far we can progress over the next 2 years. So
I understand a lot of things can change, you know, on and off the court in 12 months, but the basic argument is, can you make decisions? I mean, can you guarantee a third year? Can you make decisions after 2 years? Is that too little time for any coach to have? And so basically into next year, you know.
And I think it just depends upon every circumstance. You know, I think, you know, if you're showing improvement just in terms of the culture of the program, and that, you know, we've got kids going to class and doing well and compliance-wise, okay, and then you begin to see that translate onto the court, where, you know, we've won a few more games or we've been more competitive, and you begin to see the program, you know, trend upward, then absolutely, you give that individual more time. And like I said, we're going to roll up our sleeves and we're going to work with Kim, and I want Kim, as I'm sure a lot of our fans do. We want Kim to be our basketball coach for a long, long time. And we got a lot of work ahead. So,
how involved are you? I mean, you provide the framework, you said, but how involved would you be as far as, because one of the issues, and this isn't just a basketball question, but it's been an issue here in basketball at times over the past few years. How involved are you in, I don't want to use veto power, but hey, these are kids we can't recruit, or this is a kid you can't, or is that hands off, that's 100% up to a coach?
You know, I think at times I can be fairly engaged. I think I'm pretty dang engaged with all of our sports programs. But I also think, you know, you set a framework. And so just in terms of just, you know, foundation, our coaches understand just philosophically, here are the type of kids we need to recruit. Okay. Now, if there's maybe a young person that doesn't fit extremely well or has had some issues at another institution or, you know, in high school, et cetera, then we're going to have a separate conversation about that and say, hey, is this somebody that you know, we despite some issues they've had, that we feel good about bringing into our family, and that they, you know, they made a mistake and they do have some good character, and that they understand that, that whatever happened in the past was wrong, and they're ready to turn over a new leaf and move forward.
A couple of just kind of big picture things.
Bottom line, I do believe in second chances.
Okay. A couple of big picture things kind of to wrap up. A lot of the talk at SEC Media Days was about the whole cost of attendance and all that. And my question about it was, one school can give $5,600 a year, another school can give $1,700 a year. First of all, do you know where those numbers come from? And second of all, do you think that's something that gets tweaked over the next few years?
I have a fairly good understanding in terms of where those numbers come from. And I think obviously the important thing is for everybody to remember the athletic department doesn't set that number.
Right.
It's the financial aid office on campus, and they set that number for the entire student body, not just for student athletes, but for the student in terms of what is the full cost of attendance. Okay, I think because college athletics in general are so competitive, okay, as we move forward, people are going to try to balance those numbers. Okay, at the end of the day, again, it's full cost of attendance, and guess what? It's costs a lot more to live in San Diego or LA, okay, than it does to live in Columbia, Missouri. So if it's really based on cost of attendance, you know, the miscellaneous expenses, transportation, food or clothing, etc., do you really need as much money in Columbia, Missouri as you do, you know, somewhere else? And so, you know, there'll be people that will use it as a recruiting advantage, but at the end of the day, just because maybe Institution X is going to give more money than maybe we will, okay, in terms of the cost of attendance, doesn't mean that student athlete, really, that money is going any further than what it is here. And I think we've got to remember that, and we'll certainly make sure, you know, that we educate our student athletes on that.
Does it raise your eyebrows like it does mine then, that given that it apparently does not cost as much to live in LA as it does in, say, Knoxville, Tennessee, or Auburn, Alabama?
No comment.
Okay. Fair enough.
Right.
Fair enough. Just kind of big picture. Wait, Chad and I were just talking. It's so nice to listen to all the conference realignment stuff and not be in the middle of it for the first, you know, like we were for 2.5 years here. What's your just as being someone involved in this, what's your take on where that's going over the next? Do you think, I mean, every time I think it's settled down, somebody in the Big 12 has something to say and it's not settled down anymore.
But here's, and this is a really general, generic statement, but nothing's forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think there will be change. I can't tell you that, you know, I know exactly when, but I do. And obviously the focus is on the Big 12. Because of just virtue of numbers, 10 teams, you know, are they vulnerable? And then obviously, you know, what happened in terms of the college playoff last year with Baylor TCU, that exacerbated it and really brought it to the forefront. But I think as time moves forward, okay, I do think that there will be some change. I think that there will be some schools in terms of the group of five that will elevate up. And then once that happens, then I wonder, you know, all of a sudden now, does that then formalize and become a just completely separate group?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wish I could answer that. You know, at the end of the day, my concern is, you know, whatever happens, University of Missouri is in the best position possible.
I would assume it's nice to be in a chair where people will be asking to join you rather than one where you might have been asking to join people.
Absolutely. Yep. It is. And we should all feel fortunate, because I do. I feel very strong that we are in the best conference in the country. You know, Commissioner Slive's leadership has been unbelievable over the last decade. And then I think, you know, that we're going to move seamlessly forward with Commissioner Sankey.